This is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance from CFG Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Travis provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. And welcome to Navigating Your Retirement. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. And here with me, I'm excited because we're here with Travis Chance. And Travis, you're the host. And you've got a great topic for us today. I'm interested to hear what you told me the title, and you wanted to surprise me, Tulips, Rockets, and the Risk of Following the Crowd. I love the title. It's intriguing me. I think I may know where you're going with rockets.
I'm not going to spoil it,
yeah. Tulips, I have no idea.
Tony, well, welcome to you as well. You are my Ed McMahon to me as Johnny Carson.
So, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. So welcome back, folks, this morning. We are going to have a little fun this morning, but we're also going to talk about some current events that I think everyone, if you've been living under a rock or if you've been searching the internet at all, you've probably read about it, seen it, or heard about it. So we're going to talk about it today, and we're going to see where we go from here, because it's, you know, this show is meant to be educational, but it's also meant to be a little bit of fun. And Tony, sure, you and I are big movie buffs, right?
Yes.
And yeah, yes. So we are also fans of Oliver Stone. I know you and I've talked about like JFK, some of his movies, but he actually did one called Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. Do you remember that? It was the follow-up to Wall Street from the Gordon Gekko, Bud Fox. Remember back in the 80s? He did a follow-up with Shia LaBeouf. And Charlie Sheen made a little small cameo at one of the charity dinners that they were at. And anyway, but one of my favorite scenes from that movie is what's going to start us off, and actually what gave me the idea for today's show, because the first thing that Shia LaBeouf sees when he walks into Gordon Gekko's apartment is this painting framed with a tulip, and it's got a stock charts, one of the first stock charts. And it was from the Netherlands from the 1600s. And he goes on, Gordon Gekko goes on to tell this anecdotal story about, you know, what that was. And it was the tulip mania craze. So back in the 1600s, tulips became one of the hottest status symbols in the Netherlands, right? Certain plants, certain bulbs, I mean, they were selling for the price of a cottage. I mean, it was astonishing. And at the peak, some of the tulips actually exceeded what workers could hope to earn in an entire year for just the contract to buy or sell one of these things. And they weren't buying them because everybody all of a sudden turned into this, garden aficionado. They bought them because they were convinced that, and they believed that by them buying it today, someone else would be willing to pay more for it tomorrow. What does that sound like? That's the stock market, right? You buy a share of stock, it's going to be worth more tomorrow than it is today. So that's what some of the first investing was investing in things like this. And then all of a sudden, almost overnight, what happened? Confidence waned, things started to get a little rocky, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared. Prices collapsed. People lost all of their inheritance, their life savings.
Well, it got to a point where people said, I'm not paying that for a flower.
Yes. And
it's a flower, it's a plant. Yeah,
historians have actually debated like how widespread the damage was. But tulip mania is just, it's one more illustration, even from, you know, close to what, 400 plus years ago, that investments were made on social movements and hysteria, not on fundamentals. Right. And then when the sizzle, if you will, the hype disappears, then that's whenever all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, we got to do something different. We got to sell. And then things change and change pretty rapidly. So that is an anecdote, ladies and gentlemen, guys and gals, but it is also true today, because I think our emotions around investing, whether we want to admit it or not, you know, we always say, and I'm a big Sopranos fan. I don't know if you remember this one, but in the last season of Sopranos, do you remember when, what was his name? Tony was talking to, Johnny Sachs' successor. Dadgummit, I'm trying to, they called him the Shaw. He basically, Tony said, we don't want to, they were talking about a mob deal. And he said, you don't want to let emotions get in the way of finance. And the guy turned around to Tony and said, who are you, effing Charles Schwab over here? And so, you know, we have to through the emotional side, right? So, it's Phil. It was Phil. That was the guy's name. But anyway,
Phil, the Shaw.
Yep. Yeah, the Shaw. So anyway, so investing in emotions should be separated. But the problem is we are compelled by narratives, right? I mean, whether it's, you know, you got technology all the way back I'm watching right now, for those who are looking for a good binge-worthy show, Hell on Wheels. We've actually talked about it on the show a couple of times. And one of the things in the very first few seasons was the guy who's doing the Hell on Wheels, like he's the driving force. He was actually convicted of stock manipulation way back in the 1800s. And a lot of the railroad owners back then were doing pump and dump schemes, or either they were cooking their books, making their stock go up. Yep. So that was the technology of then, right? We're talking about the technology of today. And whether you're talking about, you know, the oil prices or oil from the Rockefeller days, Carnegie, JP Morgan, most of that typically revolves, or a lot of the narratives, Jeff Bezos, Steve Jobs, you can go on and on and on, to Elon Musk. Now, we typically find ourselves drawn to a charismatic founder or a person that is just unique. They are different. These people were. Everyone I just named was different. They are not cut from the same cloth as the majority of us.
Right.
They had vision. They went out. They did things that people had never done before. That's why they achieved the heights that they achieved. And I think sometimes whenever we look at the story around an investment, that's what we're looking for, is the next JP Morgan-esque, the next Thomas Edison with GE, the next, you know, whomever it is. Because this company this time is going to change everything. And very well, the one that we're alluding to, which we'll get into in a second, very well could. But, you know, you also have the things that drive us, is that little green-eyed monster called envy, where you might have somebody that says, okay, oh, they're at the golf course and their broker advisor got them in private shares early and they've made blah, 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 blah. They won't tell you about the billions or millions they've lost. They'll just tell you about the home runs that they hit, just to be clear.
Right.
And everybody that's listening right now, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about SpaceX, right? I am not saying that they are a bad company. They are probably it for the next phase at this point in time in the future.
Sure.
Right. You've got the AI arm of SpaceX, I think, is going to be huge. You have the rockets and the space exploration. You have the data center potential with what they're potentially going to do
there. Putting them in space.
Yeah, I mean, we are actually, this time, we are talking about something that could change the game long term. But here's the problem.
In the future.
Yeah. In the future. Here's the problem. We get so caught up and so I want to say, like John Connolly song from the 70s, we get rose colored glasses and all we can see is what we want to see. And the color and the tint that we're looking at is right now. Mm-hmm. That is it. Right. That is the next big thing. Well, and we always say, you know, We think this time is different. Well, let's talk about some of the times it wasn't. You know, in the past, we've had these types of breakthroughs. I don't know if you guys remember about 15 years ago, not quite 20, Facebook, the IPO came out, what, late to 2011, 2012-ish. The IPO came out and people went absolutely nuts for this thing because mm-hmm. they were, you know, they had been on it for a number of years. You know, it came out a decade earlier. It was private. But marketers saw this as just this huge opportunity to reach so many people that whenever they monetized it, they were like, oh my God, this thing's a no brainer. It's a home run. And eventually, Tony, it was. I mean, it's been a rocket ship, no pun intended, since 2012. But here's what people tend to not remember. It fell about 50% not long after it IPO'd.
Right.
And I'm not saying that if you're a long-term investor, because there's probably those out there going, well, you don't know I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm going to hold it 15, 20 years. And that's okay if that's the way you feel. But you're probably not a retiree if that is the case. And you're waiting or having a 15, 20-year retirement timeline. Unless you're buying it today and you're going to give it to your grandkids 15, 20 years whenever you pass away. If that's the case, disregard everything I just said. Hit stop on the podcast. Don't listen to this podcast anymore. But here's the point. Most of our listeners, I think, are in the retirement category. They don't have the same time horizon. And putting
us close to retirement, in the planning phase.
Out, yeah. Cutting a significant amount of your portfolio at a very close proximity to retiring or in retirement, that could get a little bit devastating, right?
I mean, we don't have
that time horizon.
Right. The time horizon, because we're like with SpaceX, you got to look at the fundamentals, right? SpaceX isn't profitable. What are the numbers from last quarter?
So Morningstar, and this is, I mean, Morningstar is, I think, a very reputable source.
It's the Bible of finance, right?
Morningstar actually estimates the valuation somewhere around $750 billion. But the initial valuation was between $1.5 and $2.5 trillion of what the IPO went public at. Now, it's pulled back quite a bit, but and almost lost $1 trillion of valuation thus far. And this is only in a week's worth of trading. So my point is this. It is not the bad thing to want to be involved in something that is going to change the world and be cutting edge. But we have to be wise about the amount of exposure that we take.
Can you wait the 30 years?
Can you wait for the in this case, like we talked about Facebook, can you wait the 5 to 10 years on that one specific asset before you get back to where you were or beyond?
Yeah, SpaceX is probably going to take longer. Like one of their big profit centers is going to be building data centers in space. You know how long it's going to be before they actually have a functioning data center in space that's going to earn them money? Mm-hmm. 20 years minimum, they say, probably 30. And that's going to be a
fair,
big
though, Tony, to be fair, because I think we try to be fair on this show. Yeah. To be fair, they are getting a significant amount of revenue. And this is something that I just learned. Sure. I learned something new every day. Learned it yesterday.
Yeah.
They're actually leasing a significant amount of their capacity right now to some of the Mag 7, such as Google.
Yeah,
that is impressive, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's
but they really haven't turned a profit yet. They're losing. They lost. I think last quarter they lost $4.2 billion.
Correct.
In the negative. But the problem is they're spending billions and billions, mm-hmm. hundreds of billions of dollars.
Right. We're trading off potentially 2027, 2028, 2029 earnings, or buying the stock today. But it wasn't just Facebook, right? I mean, let's just don't cherry pick. Think about Amazon back in the late 90s.
They were a bookstore, an online bookstore.
But their stock was unstoppable.
Right.
But during the dot-com crash, the stock lost 90% of its value. But the business survived, right? They changed, they adapted, they overcame, they made good decisions. Jeff Bezos mm-hmm. stuck with it. The business evolved and now went from a online retailer selling books to pretty much getting anything you want
yes.
within hours, you know, 8 to 10 hours, you can have it at your door in some location. So you know, it's not that things don't have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes it's like throwing a turkey in the oven, waiting 20 minutes and expecting to pull it out and eat it. No, that you're right. going to get sick. That's going to be a bad experience. But if you give it time to cook, you pull it out, it's this nice, moist bird that you're going to be able to feed the whole family and have leftovers. It's just the timing. We have to be aware that things don't just automatically come to fruition. And right. I think that's where we skip a step. And that's sometimes where that step can hurt us. But for retirees, the problem is, you know, if you're 30 years old, you've got decades, plural, to overcome bad timing. So if you bought, you know, SpaceX at 220, which it was at for a temporary amount of time, even if it goes to 100, who cares? You've got literally 30 years to wait on this thing. If you put that in Amazon perspective, that means you probably made a pretty good purchase if you were going to wait until your retirement to start cashing some of those in. So, but when you're in your retirement years, that's when you don't have the decades to overcome, because time is a limited resource. It is a much harder reality that we have to realize, because sequence of returns matters, right? Large declines in early in your retirement and your financial plan can really have devastating and just long lasting impact. It doesn't mean you should avoid growth investments altogether. It just means you need to ask questions differently. Like, how much risk can I truly tolerate? Can I take those ups and downs? What is the role that this investment is going to play in my portfolio? If it drops 50%, is it going to change my life? Am I investing or speculating? You know, one of the things that I've heard many times in my career, now almost, you know, what is it, 20, going on 22 years, is, you know, you ask someone a question: if your money doubled tomorrow, would your lifestyle change? Most people say no. But if your money was to cut in half, would your lifestyle change tomorrow? And the answer for most people is a resounding yes. So that's kind of the point, is that once you get to retirement, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
Because, Tony, and this is not going to be one of our longer shows, but just to kind of put a bow on it, if you're waiting until the crowd is with you, you have probably already missed the boat.
Yeah.
That is unfortunately kind of where we are, because, you know, by the time everyone, and I told my wife, and you can ask her if you don't believe me, I swear before everything I can that I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth, what scared me to death about SpaceX. And it happened about 2 weeks before the IPO. I walk in, Tony, to Chipotle. I walk by a table. I'm not eavesdropping, but I walk by a table, and there is a group of what look to be college students sitting there eating their bowls and burritos, and they are seriously talking about buying significant amounts and figuring out how to buy significant amounts of SpaceX. When you walk into a Chipotle and that is the first thing you hear,
right?
Absolutely not. That's it. Nope. Not going to happen. I can't do it. Not for my retirees, not for my clients. I can't do it. Now, is that something that we are potentially going to look into adding in the future? I think we would be an idiot if we didn't.
Sure.
But after what amount of price discovery? Well, that remains to be seen, right?
Yeah, because I mean, you have to do your due diligence, and you have to know what you're doing is, you know, going to be. There is always risk, but you have to look at what's in your client's best interests, and people need to not base things on emotion or hype. And I think also, once the, you know, what I've heard, you know, what those college kids may not realize is that I think it's 6 months, they have to wait. But when the SpaceX employees, the lockup period ends, when that ends, all those SpaceX employees that have become stock options,
millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah, they're going to become millionaires and billionaires overnight. But that's not, unless you're the janitor there or the receptionist or an employee there, you're not going to be able to be a part of that. What's going to happen is that's probably going to tank the stock or at least drop it.
It could definitely provide.
So you want to be strategic. You don't want to jump in right away. That's crazy.
So Tony, I wanted to finish with this. We have three, I think there are three practical guidelines to trying to create some kind of organization and some kind of sanity in the chaos, right? First things first, separate admiration from allocation. Mm-hmm. Just because you think Elon Musk is the greatest thing since sliced bread or the wheel, that's great. I'm glad you do, because I am with you. I think he is a once in a generation or more person, that his brain works differently. He solves problems that people haven't even thought of, not much less ones that are right in front of us. So if you admire SpaceX, you admire Elon Musk, okay, that's fine. But you can't restructure your entire portfolio or your retirement around it, because you're abandoning reason and thinking just because this person is involved that that's going to automatically give the stock X number of percentage points, right? Mm-hmm. That could probably come back to bite you. So maybe add the innovation without banning diversification. Number two, decide in advance how much speculation you're comfortable with. Tony, there's a lot of retirees that, you know, everybody's a long-term investor, so they have short-term losses. And all of a sudden you see that stock go down 20, 30, 50%. And you're like, oh my goodness. That's the reason why we tell folks, I don't recommend adding any more, you know, you hear this latest craze 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it's crypto. You know, if you add what we perceive as being a reasonable allocation, needs to be between 2 and 5% of your total portfolio. That could add some return in the really good years. But in the really bad years, it's probably not going to tank your entire portfolio. Now, it's not going to mirror the S&P. It's not going to mirror the market, because there's going to be times where you're going to outperform. It's going to be times you're going to underperform. But over time, it should be a catalyst to help you achieve a greater rate of return.
Yeah.
But you can't let your emotions take over.
You can't.
And then the last thing, sorry, and then I'll let you jump in. The last thing is this. Remember this, folks. Boring is also something that usually works pretty well for retirees, right? And I know you don't want to hear this. You listen to the Jim Cramers, which, by the way, this was hilarious. Somebody pointed this out. The day and the time that he said that SpaceX should go up 1% per hour is the day that it started to go down, and it went from 225 to 150. So I just want to put that out there. He is much smarter than I am. He has been in the business longer than I am, but I just wanted to point that out. So remember, boring works a lot of the time, right?
It
Diversification,
does.
Rebalancing, managing your costs, your risk, managing and maintaining appropriate risk levels, making sure you update your risk tolerance on a regular basis, make sure you're not getting outside your skis as a whole, right? You got to add all your cash and your bonds and your stocks and everything, massage them into this ball. What is that risk weighting? That's how you get to a very comfortable position. And also remember, ideas that make headlines, they sound really good, but it also still has to come back to fundamentals, because once the hype wears off, that's what really is going to rule the day. So if it's exciting and it grabs your attention, great. But you can't let it override the discipline that helped you build your financial wealth and has now helped you maintain financial security, right?
Yeah.
Tulip mania, Tony, wasn't about flowers. SpaceX ain't about just rockets. It's about human behavior and the fear of missing out, overconfidence, herd mentality, whatever you want to call it. This time's different, and it may be different. SpaceX could be one of the greatest stories ever told, one of the greatest successes ever told. Perhaps it already is. It could be. But you need to put what I just said in perspective, folks, because retirement planning isn't about winning a race against your neighbors. It's about you creating confidence that your resources are going to be able to get you through your life that you've worked so hard to build. Make sure that you're doing what needs to be done. Make sure that mailbox paycheck keeps coming in month after month after month. And yes, if you want to have a little fun, I'm not going to begrudge you, but you need to make sure that you have the discipline to let the crowd do what it wants to do, and you stay committed to your plan. And if you do that, and you let us help you here at CFG Wealth Management, that will make for a much more enjoyable retirement and retirement process.
Yeah, there you go. And I just want to add for our listeners and viewers out there, Travis isn't giving specific financial advice on what to buy and what not to buy.
This is general commentary on the stocks and the companies that we have mentioned. This is not me telling you.
Yeah, everybody's situation is different. So if you want to know what you should be doing, you need to meet with Travis one-on-one so he can look at your personal time horizon. Sure. You have different goals than your neighbor. So, I think that's so important. And what you said really illustrates that, Travis. Great show. Tulips and rockets. I love it. What a great topic for the show today. I was not aware of that whole the tulip situation over there. You know, the Dutch, they love the tulips.
The Dutch, they love their flowers.
They do. They have big tulip festivals in a lot of Dutch theme towns here. But I love it, Travis. And great show. Again, listeners and viewers, give Travis and his team a call there. 877-269-0839. That's 877-269-0839. You can go to the website, which is chancefinancialgroup.com. And that does it for today's episode of Navigating Your Retirement with our host, the man himself, Travis Chance.
Thank you for listening to Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Travis at CFG Wealth Management. Call 877-269-0839 or visit them online at navigatingretirementradio.com. Advisory services are offered by CFG Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through TL Chance, Inc., an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.